for preparing and coming.
Good morning. Not a traditional Christmas message so close to Christmas, but there will be a little bit of a connection between what we're talking about and some Christmas scriptures and some people that we often refer to in the Christmas message. And one brother who's really dear to my heart, he usually says after I've spoken that I've got more out of this than anyone listening, and I'm sure he's always right. But it's a wonderful thing to spend time in the Word and to be encouraged in the Word. And so the thoughts that we'd like to think about this morning are, He leads me, O blessed thought. And I've just been thinking the last several months of the blessing it is to know the Lord's leading. And we'll look at some of those scriptures together this morning. So the first scripture, if we could turn to, is Romans chapter 2. In verse 4. May the Lord open the eyes of our understanding as we look into His Word together. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And so the first way that the Lord leads in our lives is the goodness of God leads us to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Actually, I'll just give you a quick breakdown of all the leading that we're going to look at. First, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And also, the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness. The Lord does not lead us into temptation. The Lord leads us in the right way. The Lord leads us so that we do not fear. The Lord leads, will I follow? And complaining about the Lord's leading consumes and wastes our life. And we are to follow the Lord's leading without compromise. So we'll go through those. But firstly, the goodness of God leads to repentance. And again, I think it does really good if we were to take an inventory in our life of all the different things and ways in which the Lord has led us along. And that might challenge us, it might bless our hearts, but hopefully it would be a good thing with you and the Lord to sit down together and go through His leading. But the goodness of God leads us to repentance, and we really need to start there. Where would we be without the Lord in our life? Where would we be? It would not be a good place to be without God. We would be without hope. The goodness of God leads us to repentance, and that's where we begin our walk and our relationship with the Lord. Next, if we could turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And there's the first leading. It's to peace, still waters, it's to sustenance, green pastures. But here's the one we really want to look at this morning. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul. And the word restore there, it's the same word used as turning in the Old Testament. He turns my soul. He turns my soul to Himself. He restores my soul. So the goodness of God, first off, leads us to repentance. And He restores my soul. He's turning my soul to Himself. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The soul... So before we're led in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, the soul is restored. The soul has turned from self and from sin to serve the living and the true God. The Lord is restoring that which He took not away. And a soul is in a right relationship with the Lord. And so He leads us in paths of righteousness. Sometimes we tend to think of the Lord's leading in terms of a geographic location, like, oh, he's leading me, you know, over here or over there. We think of it in geographic locations. But here, the paths of righteousness, which the Lord is leading us on, these paths of righteousness, they don't necessarily have anything to do with a geographic location. The paths of righteousness. What are the paths of righteousness? The Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And Jesus Christ is the way or the path of righteousness. And I think it's important that we don't mistake the paths of righteousness with the paths of duty. Those things we do because we feel we have to. The path of duty is much different. It has nothing to do with the paths of righteousness. The path of righteousness the paths of righteousness has us clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The path of righteousness has us clothed with the qualities of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the path of righteousness, we're yoked with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're learning of him. We learn of his meekness. We learn of our necessary fellowship with the Father, with our Heavenly Father. We learn of the mind of Christ when perhaps we're despised for his name's sake. And that's the other thing. The Lord leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's for the glory of his name that he's leading us. And I wonder how familiar am I with the path of righteousness? Will we follow the Lord's leading on the path of righteousness? Balaam, it says, that he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And his heart was filled with a desire for many things that weren't the Lord's desire for him. And Peter writes of Balaam and other false teachers like Balaam. And Peter says that it was better for them not to have known to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned from it. It was better not to have known the way of righteousness than to know it and turn from it. So might we, as the Lord teaches us his way of righteousness, may we not turn from it, but may we be yoked together with him, walk alongside him, follow his leading in the paths of righteousness. It is for his name's sake. The Lord does not lead us into temptation. And you'll remember the disciples. First of all, it says in James, let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. And we can say, Lord, when we ask the Lord to teach us to pray, as the disciples did, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Lord, lead us not into temptation. And that's a good thing to ever have before us on a daily basis. Lord, lead us not into temptation. And when tempted, to turn away from that. The Lord leads us in the right way. And for that, I'd like to go to the first mention of the Lord's leading. And that's in Genesis chapter 24. The Lord leads us in the right way. And so there's a soon-to-be young married couple, or they're looking. Abraham's servant is looking for a bride for his son Isaac, and you know he's traveled to a far country, and who is it going to be? Well, we know it's supposed to be someone from his from the household of his brother, from his master's brother, but here. The servant prays, the Lord answers that prayer, and in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And he didn't have GPS or anything like this. He was completely relying on the Lord. The Lord led him all the way. And two, as you know the story, that the first woman that talks to him, that fulfills the answer to his prayer, is the one that Isaac is to marry. And so what was the result of the Lord's leading in the servant's life? In verse 26, he bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left my master destitute of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me, the Lord led me." And also in verse 48, it says, "And I bowed down," as he's retelling the story, he says, "I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter to a son." The Lord led me in the right way. And so in chapter 24 here, this is the first mention of the word led or leading. And it's in the right way. The Lord led him in the right way. And the result of that leading was worship. Now just, there's a, thinking of the Lord leading and marriage, I'd like to digress just briefly from the Lord's leading as far as pointed out in the outline. Earlier this year, Rachel was listening to a Christian podcast put on by two believers. And during a certain episode, one of the women confessed that in her mind, she had buried her husband 10,000 times. And this woman on the podcast was sorely convicted about this. Someone's coming home by a matter of a few minutes, and there's he's been in an accident, died, buried, and funeral's over, and succession plans have carried on. And you know, the idea was, or she had said, she had buried her husband in her mind 10,000 times, and she was confessing this and realized that this wasn't a good thing for her marriage. And I just thought, oh, brothers and sisters, that we really ought to guard our hearts and to pray that the Lord would not lead us into temptation, and that we would not allow those foxy thoughts to have to spoil the vineyard, as it were, of the fruitful vineyard. In Song of Solomon, the fox doesn't destroy the entire crop, fruit of the vine. He doesn't destroy the entire crop, but the longer that the fox is allowed loose, the more damage and spoilage occurs. So that's the end of my little digression there. But the Lord leads us in the right way that that should result in our worship and thanksgiving to God. The Lord leads us in the right way. Psalm 78 and verse 53. Oh, and you know, just to be clear, that's not a slight against any women or men. Like we all have to be careful that we keep our minds from swaying to and fro, but focused on the Lord Jesus. The Lord leads us so that we fear not. Psalm 78 and verse 53, "And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies." So there was a storm. The sea overwhelmed the enemies, but he was leading them along safely so that they feared not. There was a storm happening, but the Lord was leading them on safely. And we ask, what about the storms of life? And to that comes to mind Peter. And there was the wind and the waves, and there was a treacherous storm out there. But Peter was able to walk on water. As long as his eyes were focused on the Lord, the storm didn't matter so much. But once he took his eyes off of the Lord onto the storm, then the storm began to consume him. He was sinking. He would have perished. But he cried out to the Lord to save him, and the Lord did save him. So we might not always find ourselves in a peaceful situation, but we can have peace in the storms of life. Is it possible to have peace in the storms of life? Absolutely. Even, what about the valley of the shadow of death? The psalmist says, "I fear no evil." The Lord leads that we fear not. He led them on safely. The Lord leads, will I follow? Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first. Let me first go. And on the surface, the requests of the people that want to follow the Lord, that those requests, they kind of seem legitimate until we maybe dig a little deeper and find that they all have one thing in common. And so these people, their desire in life was that life would continue on the same way. And, you know, they wanted to stay in their comfort zone. They wanted life to continue on in the same comfortable way that it always had, with their following of the Lord and his work at a more convenient time in the future, some other day. Lord, let me first. Let me first do this or that. They wanted to follow the Lord, and they didn't want things to change either. And not that I'm not against stability and things not changing, but we'll use the words comfort zone. So they didn't want to leave their comfort zone to do what the Lord was calling them to do. So they had bold claims of following the Lord, you know, working side by side with him. But they had a few plans and desires in their own life that they wanted to come to fruition first. And we're reminded of the words of King Agrippa, who said, at a more convenient time, you know, not today, later, some other time, I'll maybe follow and the call of the Lord. But a more convenient time, incidentally, never came for King Agrippa. And so perhaps we too have continued on a little bit with our lives in autopilot and in the path of our comfort zone. So much so now that this path of our comfort zone and autopilot, it's not really a soft path anymore. We've packed it a little bit, and it's a little bit hardened now. And so when presented with a certain word from the Lord or a prompting of the Holy Spirit, there might be a little green shoot or thought spring up, and then it withers and gets choked. It dies. It's on hard ground. We're just in this path of autopilot comfort zone, so to speak. Is the Lord leading us, or is the Lord leading you to do something outside of your comfort zone? Something you've never done before. You know, will it be stretching? Probably will be. Would it be trying? Perhaps, quite likely. Will the Lord give grace and help? Absolutely. Absolutely. So the Lord leads, will I follow? So here's a bit of a connection, perhaps, between the words, he leadeth me, O blessed thought, and with the scriptures and people that we normally think about at Christmas. So Joseph and Mary, the Lord holds the king's heart in his hand. And so a decree went forth from heaven to Caesar Augustus. And then there was a decree that all the land should be taxed, and everyone's got to go to their own home country. And for Joseph, that was Bethlehem. And so he could say that, you know, the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And so there's the Lord's leading in Joseph and Mary's life. They're heading to Bethlehem. Was it a comfortable journey for someone late in pregnancy? Not being a woman, but I'd say I don't think so. And I'm sure her husband, or I'm sure Joseph rather, felt for her. He was a spouse to her. But I'm sure he felt for her. The point is, the Lord was leading Joseph and Mary. And although it wasn't exactly comfortable for them, they submitted themselves under the mighty hand of God. And then there's the shepherds. The shepherds were doing what shepherds do. And most shepherds, I won't say all shepherds, but most shepherds really like what they do. And it's what they know, it's what they do, it's what they enjoy. However, when you receive a heavenly message from the angel of the Lord, as well as seeing and hearing a multitude of angels singing and praising God, you leave your comfort zone to do something that maybe you haven't done before. And the shepherds, they came with haste. It says they came with haste to Mary and Joseph. The shepherds had to leave what was comfortable to them. And you know, when they left their comfort zone of the sheep, when they left that, they came and they worshiped. And then they told, it says that they told many people, many people, what they heard. They told the heavenly message to others. And this is the message: to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So now they've left their comfort zone to tell other people that a Savior is born, that there is a Savior, Christ the Lord. Are we willing to leave our comfort zone with a heavenly message of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? The wise men, they traveled a great distance following a heavenly sign, a star, and they weren't exactly staying in five-star accommodation along the way. They willingly left the comfort of home to come and to worship the King of Kings. And so the Lord led them along safely, and they fulfilled the purpose of their journey, and they worshiped. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14 as we think about complaining about the Lord's leading will waste and consume our life. The children of Israel, they've just been delivered out of bondage. They've left Egypt. They're no longer enslaved, and the Red Sea is before them, and the army of the Egyptians is behind them, and they're now like, well, maybe we shouldn't have done this. But what did they say in verse 11? And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us like this to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word which we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So, hey, they were longing to go back to bondage. They were complaining about how the Lord had led them out of Egypt, and they're complaining about that. And while they were in the desert, incidentally, following the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, if they were outside of that leading of the Lord, they wouldn't have been so well with them. They would have undergone quite a bit of harm or perhaps death. But also, it's an indication that, you know, they were physically in the right place. That the Lord had led them there, they were physically in the right place. But their heart was, as it were, their heart was far from God. They they were full of complaints for how the Lord had led them to that point. So if we could be physically in the right place, but have a heart ungrateful, despising the leading of the Lord. And in Numbers chapter 14, it gets a little worse for the generation that comes out. Numbers chapter 14. So what happens is they've sent the spies into the land of Canaan. They're right on the cusp of going in, and the spies come back, and the two give Joshua and Caleb. They give a good report, but then there's 10 that give a really awful report. And upon hearing this awful report, chapter 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt." The Lord had led them along, provided for them, done many things for them. And upon hearing an evil report, their mind starts to wander. We're all going to die. They're going to steal our wives and our children. And, too bad we just wouldn't, die in Egypt or die in the wilderness. Why do we have to go here and die? And skip over to verse 27 of chapter 14. And the Lord says, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you to make you dwell therein, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." The Lord answered their murmurings. The Lord answered their complaining against his leading. He said, have it your way. You're going to die in the wilderness. So complaining about the Lord's leading, it will consume and waste away our life. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 6, thinking of the words, following without compromise. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 6, and whoso falls not down and worships shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, these men are without compromise. Now, in rural Ontario, we're a little bit disconnected with martyrdom as in the first century church and as in what these three men were going through. Maybe at worst, someone might have a hot tempered employer that maybe doesn't like you as far as your walk with the Lord is concerned, but it's not usually the death sentence for you in this part of the world for following the Lord. But these men knew, we'll just dub it down a little bit, these men knew that if they didn't worship the image, that they would lose their job, lose their home, lose their families, lose their possessions, and they were going to die. But they knew all that, and they followed the Lord without compromise. They weren't exactly looking to the clouds for an answer, should we bow or should we not. They were looking to the written word of God, which was engraved on two stone tablets, which said, in Exodus 20 is our record of it, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down yourself nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And so that was the word that they had received, and that was the word that they had followed. And your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We have so much direction right from the word of God. Are we willing to follow? Quite some time ago, like many years ago, I was I had an opportunity to be involved in something that was somewhat lucrative at the time, and really they were trying to help me out, help a young guy out and get started. But the scripture that came to mind was that you should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And a little bit later on, that you learn more about that opportunity and how, as a Christian, there would have been a lot of compromise involved. And so maybe at the time, things might look really good, but it's the word of God. We need to follow. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it was, for myself at that time, was do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so maybe you're in a crossroads, or someday you will. There's decisions that we need to make every day and going forward, but your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so just to review here quickly here, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness. The Lord does not lead us into temptation. The Lord leads us in the right way. The Lord leads us so that we fear not. The Lord leads, will I follow? And complaining about the Lord's leading will waste and consume our life, and that we need to follow the Lord without compromise. We were reading Brother Andrew this week, we've been reading that book as a family. And when the house churches were meeting there, they'd have in some Western speakers, but it's a pretty big deal for them to get together as house churches, and it's because of the authorities of the government. And when they invited North American speakers out, some of them did 45 minutes, but they realized, we just can't have these Western speakers anymore unless they're prepared to do 3 hours, because of the effort it takes for them to gather together. So I'm not one of these 3 hour people. Anyways, we'll pray together, and we'll sing 488. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for your word. We thank you for it, and we thank you for your promise to lead us. Lord, we pray that you would challenge our hearts, and that we would be willing to leave our comfort zone in worship and in proclaiming that Christ, the Savior, is come into the world to save sinners. Lord, we help us to be sensitive to your leading, to walk in your ways, and to honor you in all that we do. We ask your blessing on the Christmas play this evening. To you be the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. So if we could sing together 488, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, and then the meeting will be ended.